Hi, my name is Janelle Engelstad, and welcome to the MAP Radio Hour, a Make Art with Purpose podcast. The MAP Radio Hour includes conversations with creatives, scientists, and other people addressing the intersection of cultural, political, and environmental concerns. You can find out more about MAP and our projects at makeartwithpurpose.net.
Jak tu wyrywać murom zęby krat, gdy rdzą zacieka cegła i zaprawa.
MAP Radio Hour's special series of podcasts produced in conjunction with the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall continues with Polish documentary filmmaker Anna Maria Mydlarska. Mydlarska recounts stories from her work with Solidarity, where she was a member of the press office and translator for the movement's leader, 1983 Nobel Peace Prize laureate Lech Walesa. In 1990, after the fall of communism, Walesa would become Poland's first freely elected head of state in 63 years. Mydlarska begins by talking about the strikes in Poland's northern coastal Baltic cities in December 1970, sparked by the sudden and rapid increase of prices for food and everyday items. The strikes were put down by the Polish People's Army and the Citizens' Militia. At least 42 people were killed and more than 1,000 wounded, an event known locally as the massacre. Our conversation took place at European Solidarity Center in Gdansk, which sits directly outside the shipyards where Solidarity was founded, and where Mydlarska is the manager of the documentary film section, which houses some 1,400 filmed interviews with former Solidarity members.
Wieczna bezdna kałuża i widać w niej groby, groby, groby pod całunem naszych dni.
Whenever my mother was speaking about her fears, we thought they were not so much real. We felt, in a way, already secure in that new Poland that in the 70s didn't look as totalitarian as it was. Mm-hmm. And that's why so important was that moment of 1970. It has shown to younger generations that really the system is oppressive. The society was very young, and that was also part of the flavor of the protests in August 1980. Those people that were protesting were not fully aware of the worst Stalinist period of totalitarian regime in Poland. They were protesting because they have not as much fear as the previous generation, but also because 1 year and a half before that we have a visit of Pope John Paul II, who started his visit with those words, "Do not be afraid." And people have taken that message very strongly to their hearts. And Walesa kept saying that, you know, before in the 70s, when there were just small groups of the opposition, he had always about 10 people willing to act. About 10 people willing to risk everything to be part of the opposition. And he said that, and a year and a half later, he was not doing anything any wiser. He had not more money, but somehow he had, instead of 10 people, 10 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know, enormous difference.
Yeah.
So that feeling of hope that was inserted into the nation by the Pope was very important. In the beginning, in those manifestations, you had like 50, 60 people. But on the 3rd of May 1980, it was probably 100,000. So, you know, there was a big change. And in 1970...
That was after the Pope came.
After the Pope came. And also for the anniversary of the massacre of December 1970, again, Wałęsa was speaking on December 1979 to the crowd of several thousand people. That was already a big crowd. Before, it was never like that. It was a handful. The first demonstrations in celebrating December massacre, I didn't dare to participate in that, because there was just a tiny group of people, and the militia was very aggressive. They were taking away cameras of those people. They were arresting them. So, you know, it was... But also in the 70s, on the 3rd of May or 11th of November, it was like that. Everybody would go to the manifestation, sing, listen to the speeches, sing the songs, and disperse quickly, very quickly. Yes.
Yeah. So there's so many tipping points, you know, as this builds. When did you transition from, you know, feeling this call to be present to really being, it seems like it was a little bit gradual. And then all of a sudden you become, there's one point where you're a player, you're actually...
Definitely it was August 1980. For many people, it was August 1980 that has transformed their lives, because you looked... each family had somebody in the shipyard. In our case, my husband's father was a medicine doctor. He was a physician. He worked in the hospital and ambulatory of the shipyard. He knew very well people that later became very important, like the nurse from the shipyard, Alina Pienkowska, later wife of Bogdan Borusewicz. So he worked together with her in the same spot. He also spent the whole events of December 1970 as a doctor inside the shipyard. So he has seen the massacre. So he knew everything about the
massacre. Was he treating people? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he stayed with the workers throughout the events leading to the massacre. He had seen people being killed. He has seen all that. So he told my husband, and my husband called me at home, that the strike has begun and I have to see it. And I didn't even understand, why should I see it? And my husband told me, I can't explain it to you. You have to take a train to Gdańsk, get out at Gdańsk shipyard stop, and walk all the way from there to the center of the city. So from gate 3 to gate 2, just walk along the walls, you will understand everything. I said, but I'm with a child, you know, take a child in a pram, it's fine, just you have to see it. So I did, you know, I had holidays, because, you know, like most students were on holidays, so they had time to do that. So I went and I walked, and during that walk along the walls of the shipyard, I already have understood what it's all about, the feeling of that incredible wave of enthusiasm and uplifted spirit of the nation that really is hoping for something much more than they dare to express. And that was an incredible moment. And then I've heard for the first time Wałęsa speaking from the gate. And then the amount of people coming from the city to be support for the strikers was enormous. Those were thousands of people standing there, and they kept coming back. And from the beginning, majority of those people decided not just to stand, they were bringing things. One of our poets said that everyone was bringing what he or she had the best. Everyone was trying to bring something into the movement. And the first thing I brought to the shipyards were paper. They didn't have paper. And the paper was not sold in the open market at the time. Only people who were writers or journalists or scientists were given permission to buy paper. You know, paper for typing machines.
Right.
For typewriters, and normal person couldn't buy it. So because my mother was teaching at the university, she had several piles at home, so I took that and brought that, because they were asking for it. The workers were saying what they need.
Right.
So one of the things they need, of course, they needed food, And local farmers were bringing, you know, whole cars loaded with food. And some elderly ladies were bringing, you know, one bag of food. Everyone was bringing something on his or her measure.
Napis na murze dłużej tutaj trwa niż człowiek.
Often referred to as the strike that changed the world, 17,000 workers seized control of the Lenin shipyard in Gdansk on the morning of August 14, 1980. As in the 1970s, the workers were protesting price increases, but also the right to self-organize and strike. 17 days later, after negotiations with Poland's communist government, Lech Wałęsa announced to cheering workers in the shipyard, "We have an independent, self-governing trade union. We have the right to strike." In September 1980, the independent, self-governing trade union Solidarity was officially formed. Over the next 15 months, the union's membership grew from 1 million to 9 million people, a quarter of Poland's population, from all trades and all professions.
And that was an incredible movement, and very soon I have tried to become part of it in a more concrete manner. And several months after, because in the beginning I became a delegate of my theater, where I have started my first job. I was like a member of Solidarity in my theater. I have joined immediately, so the first day of my job was the first day of after signing of the agreement, the 1st of September 1980. So I joined the movement and I became a delegate to those first meetings where Solidarity was established. So I have witnessed it from that side, but very soon I decided that it would be more important to work for the Solidarity office, for Solidarity in the process of organization. So I have joined the editorial team of the Bulletin of Solidarity, that one that was first printed in the shipyard during the strike. So I've joined the group that was editing that magazine, but then I was involved in preparation of the regional and later National Congress of Solidarity. And during the regional congress, the lady that was in charge of the interpreters and translators office, she asked me to interpret an interview. I said, "I've never done it before." I said, "It's okay, I've heard you talking to the foreign journalists, so you can do that." And that's how I started interpreting Lech Wałęsa. It was very, very
good. And that was in English, yeah. With English.
Yeah. Oh, also it's interesting how I first met him. I first met him immediately after the strikes. He was standing in a large group of people giving away photos with his signature.
Yeah, I remember. Yes. I've seen those pictures of him doing autographs.
So he was doing those autographs?
Yes.
It looked like that the people were giving him piles of photographs. He would autograph them and give them away. And he gave me one of those photos. I said, "But I haven't given you a photo. I didn't have one." I said, "Oh, it's okay. I'm like Robin Hood, you know. I'm taking from those that have a lot of photos and I'm giving to those that don't have one." So that I was really impressed by that first encounter, which was really showing, you know, how he was readily reacting to the situation and his generally friendliness. And he was really brilliant, you know, he was brilliant from the beginning. So I enjoyed that immensely, and generally August 1980 and those months coming afterwards were really a time of kind of euphoria. People felt free, although nothing was yet decided, but they felt they are free. They have experienced it like never before or never after.
Right.
That feeling of freedom was overwhelming. And that feeling of being united. And that's again kind of a very important feature of Wałęsa's personality. It was able to unite people, mm-hmm. and also
he was a leader.
To make them behave as if they were better than they really were. Like, taking out of them bringing out to the surface all the best what was in a person. That was incredible gift. And that made life at the difficult times much easier. And it was crazy because, you know, during the strikes, as I said, I had two little children at that time. And, you know, there was nothing in the shops during the strikes because people involved in the distribution and sales of food were also on strike. So it was up to Wałęsa to decide what they are going to actually sell and distribute. In the beginning, Gdańsk was cut off from the rest of the country because the militia has cut off telephones, they stopped trains coming, so they decided that only bread, butter and milk will be distributed to the shops. So there were enormous queues waiting for anything to come to the shops, and then a group of people with solidarity bands, white and red bands on their arms, would come and bring something to be sold, and the queue was delighted all the time. They were delighted to stand in queue, they were delighted to see them coming, they were applauding them when they were coming, they were waiting personally to everybody saying, please buy what you need, thank you. A very different attitude than what we have seen before in the circumstances like that, of really great shortage of everything. It was absolutely peaceful, nice. It was accompanied also by the total prohibition. And again, in a nation that was really, you know, rather famous for drinking, out of the blue, people were not drinking and were celebrating that, and it was a great thing that there is a prohibition because solidarity has decided that there is a prohibition. And then people were behaving as if it all was pleasure. Even back then, during the strikes, the trams were not going, and private cars would stop and take anyone in the places where they wanted. You know, the neighbors were asking whether somebody needs help. All the neighbors were taking care of the families of striking shipyard workers, because, you know, they are striking for us. And that's that sort of things. That was kind of crazy, really, what was going on. And then when solidarity was established, there were endless discussions. Everybody had a right to say at the meeting in his or her working place whatever he or she thinks, and that was all important. What is your view? What is your opinion? And therefore the meetings were very long. But they were trying to impose it. You know, you have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever was established, and people were trying to keep to that. But every voice was important. It was such an outbreak of democracy in a non-democratic society that it was causing both euphoria and that absolute need to speaking out one's mind.
Jak tu wyrywać murom zęby krat, gdy rdzą zacieka.
In response to the strikes and growing activism of the Solidarity movement, the communist government declared martial law in Poland on December 13, 1981, which lasted to July 22, 1983. During this time, the government drastically restricted normal life and Solidarity was outlawed. The government imposed restrictions that would normally be used during wartime. Indeed, many Poles refer to this time as the Civil War. The national borders were sealed, airports closed, many trains ceased running, and road access to main cities restricted. A curfew was imposed, telephone lines were disconnected, mail subject to censorship, and classes in schools and universities were suspended. Thousands of opposition activists, including Lech Walesa, were jailed. During this time, Solidarity as an organization and the union's leaders who were not jailed or somehow escaped arrest went underground. The Polish communist government publicly justified martial law, claiming that it was a necessary step to prevent a military intervention by the Soviets and other Warsaw Pact countries, similar to the interventions in Hungary in 1956 and Czechoslovakia in 1968.
Napis na murze dłużej tutaj trwa niż człowiek, co wydrapał go z wieczora. Pół wieku dni podobnych do każdego dnia na śladach kul.
One of the most spectacular things I have done is I have brought from Warsaw, there was an action that was really, I was informed in great conspiracy that I have to do that. I had to bring in 1980 Kurt Vonnegut and William Styron from Warsaw to meet with Wałęsa. And that was my greatest trip.
Yes.
I went there. It was very funny because the plane was late and the whole conspiracy network has been broken. And I was left in a situation like that, that they are in Warsaw somewhere, and I have no contact with them, and I have to find them. And I was told that they have come in private. So officially, you know,
no one knows they're there.
No one knows. So I have thought for a while. I decided the best hotel in Warsaw is Hotel Victoria. I went there and asked at the reception desk. Kurt Vonnegut was in his room, so I went there. And I was really afraid this time because I was sure they were given a room where there would be, you know, some recording. Yes?
Yeah.
And I entered the room. I look at Kurt Vonnegut, you know, whose books I was, you know, great fan. And I look at him and he looks at me and he says, "Oh, Gdańsk connection." So, you know, already everything was kind of
out in the open.
And yet I have done my best to bring them from Warsaw by taxi, not telling the taxi driver whom we are transporting at that with the two very prominent American professors are going to the university, which was partially true because they had a meeting with the students at the university afterwards, after the meeting with Wałęsa. So that was my
story.
Big moment, and I spent many hours with them traveling on taxi and talking. And we also visited American ambassador in his private villa in Warsaw. There was a big party, and this party was really something shocking because all the important figures in Warsaw opposition have participated in that party with Vonnegut and Styron, so it was a big event. The security services must have noticed because there was almost 100 people in that villa. So. But I believe they didn't know about my trip. We were not followed next day in the very early morning when we went to Gdańsk. We took that taxi. I don't think they realized we can take taxi for such a long trip. It didn't probably occur to them that that's the case. Definitely we were not followed to Gdańsk.
Right. And so what was the purpose of that meeting? Was it more than just the interest of Styron and Vonnegut? Was there somehow some coalition
unofficially, building? Unofficially, they were coming on a mission. There was also Styron's wife, Rose Styron. Rose Styron at that time was a chairwoman of the pen club, American pen club.
Right, right.
And they wanted really to learn more about the situation of intellectuals in Poland at that time. So their visit had practical consequences. And also during that party at the ambassador's place, they were buying actually films from the filmmakers, books from the writers. So they were supporting really this underground clandestine culture. And they were trying to make their works published or presented abroad.
This special series of the MAP Radio Hour is produced with support from Trust for Mutual Understanding, Wozniak Center for Contemporary Art in Gdansk, the Fulbright Slovak Commission 25th Anniversary Fund, and Leonardo, the International Society for the Arts, Sciences, and Technology. The MAP Radio Hour is produced by Matthew Horton, and the theme song is by Otto Huditz. I'm Janiel Engelstad. Thanks for listening, and visit the Make Art with Purpose website to connect with us on social media.